Aquila and Priscilla. They are the most prominent example of scripture of a husband and wife team in ministry. Just think about that. There's some men who alone stood out, some women who alone stood out, but in terms of a husband and wife team working together, they are the most prominent. Ministering side by side through the years. Let's follow their journal. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, where Luke introduces us to Aquila and to Priscilla. This is in the middle of the second missionary journey of Paul. He arrives in Corinth and he comes upon this couple. After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So, Aquila comes from Pontus. What do we know about Pontus from Scripture? Anybody remember? Did Paul ever go up there? Not that we know of. I think Pontus only mentioned one other time in Scripture. Do you remember? Anybody remember when?
Peter wrote to the people at Pontus.
Did he? I'll have to look that up. I wasn't thinking about that. There's another occasion. Pentecost. There are people from Pontus at Pentecost. So we look at this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And Aquila obviously is a Jew. It says right here that he's a Jew. We don't know how they came to Christ. Evidently, it's not through the ministry of Paul, because there's no hint of that given. And so you would think, and Paul has several times said, you know, with Timothy and Titus, some of those, you know, my child, that type, he doesn't give any reference to that. And the understanding seems to be when he arrives in Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla are already believers, and the question is, where did that happen? And my thought is, maybe Aquila became a believer through the impact of Pentecost on the people from Pontus that went Pentecost. Pontus is way north. If you look at Asia Minor, Pontus, Cappadocia, and are down here. Pontus way up on the, I think it's the Black Sea that's up there. So it's way up there. And my thinking is maybe they came to Christ from those who had been down at Pentecost and had taken the gospel back up there. Maybe that's how he came to Christ. That's just my thought. And there's nobody to back me up on that. But that seems to be, because they seem to come to Corinth as believers, or when they meet Paul. He marries Pontus, so he's a Jew. And some, you know, there's speculation, thought is maybe he was taken to Rome as a slave, and maybe that's how he ended up in Rome, and then became a freedman. But he marries, evidently, a Gentile, Priscilla, or Paul refers to her as Prisca. But they're there, they're living in Corinth, or they're living in Rome, and and again, we don't know how she came to faith, whether it's through the influence of Aquila or she came to faith another way and then they became married. But it says here they were expelled from Rome, and this would have been in about 45 or between 45 and 50 AD when Claudius commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And there's a thought that there's an uprising there. In fact, who's the person? Suetonius, a generation later, writes about this, what's going on in Rome, and it seems to be there's a disturbance among the Jews in Rome, and Claudius doesn't like that. And that disturbance may have been because of Christians that were in Rome who were Jews, and it may have caused a disturbance within the Jewish community. We don't know that. Suetonius hints at that, but we don't know that. He's a historian. But there's some conflict that was going on, and Claudius didn't like it. So he expels all the Jews, sends them out of Rome, and they go all over the place. And so Aquila and Priscilla end up in Corinth. So he goes into Corinth. His first time in Corinth, second missionary journey, first time in Corinth, he goes and he finds this couple who are Jesus followers. And he immediately connects with them. And besides that, they're tent makers, which is Paul's trade. So they have this business going. It seems to be that it was a fairly successful business, because you see them owning a home or being able to have the church in their home and large enough to hold a church, that type of thing. But he arrives there, he gets connected with them, and then it says in verse 3, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So he ends up being there, he ends up staying there for a year and a half with Aquila and Priscilla the entire time. And they have this bonding, this friendship, and this relationship that has become very beneficial. So they sit under his teaching for this year and a half. And they're working together, and they're going to church together, and all of that. And they're ministering together, and Aquila and Priscilla are just blossoming in the faith. So Paul decides to move on to Ephesus. This is a second missionary journey. After a year and a half in Corinth, he decides to move on to Ephesus. So turn over to verse 18. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out. So this is leaving Corinth, taking leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria. And with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea, he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself went on. So he has this relationship and this collegiality ministry with Aquila and Priscilla, and he brings them with them to Ephesus because he's wanting to start something in Ephesus. And he's there for a short time. Now later on, he spends a lot of time in Ephesus. But right now he's there for a short time, and he leaves them there as he moves on. Now, did you see the change that took place, real subtle change? Early on, it was Aquila and then Priscilla. And in verse 18, it's Priscilla and then Aquila. Some say that's because Priscilla's social standing was probably higher than Aquila's, so they put her name first. But what do we remember about Paul and Barnabas? It was Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul, until Paul's ministry seemed to be the stronger one, and they flipped it and became Paul and Barnabas. And I think that's what's happening here. Priscilla seems to be the stronger of the two in her ministry and that type of thing, so it flips it. It becomes from here on out Priscilla and Aquila. So they leave him. She leaves him in Ephesus, and he moves on to other places. So they start a church in their own home, and by this time they're pretty well grounded in the Word. They've sat under Paul's ministry for a year and a half, and at every meal time they're talking about things, and they had this great founding, foundation in the Word of God. Verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian of birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scripture. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So he's teaching about Jesus, except he has a limited knowledge. He knows John's teaching. He knows the baptism of John. He knows about repentance. He knows about John's prophecies. He knows about John ushering Jesus in, and he talks about Jesus. But he seems to be unaware of, he seems to have left town before the death and resurrection of Christ took place, and he seems to be unaware of that. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the founding of the church, and the mixing of the Jews and the Greeks within the church. He seems to be unaware of that. But he's speaking in the synagogue, telling him about this Jesus, and he says, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So they took all that Paul had taught them, they pull him aside, an eloquent, gifted man, they pull him aside and said, these are some of the things that you need to understand about the Scripture. These are some things you need to understand about the gospel and what is going on here. You have knowledge, but part of it, but not all of it. And so they fill him in on the rest of it, and they help him to be more eloquent. And he goes on, and he has Apollos has a great ministry of his own there. But they take him aside, and they help him with that. Someplace along the way, there was some kind of a life-threatening situation that happened to Paul. We don't know whether it happened in Ephesus. We don't know whether it's something else. But turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Because Paul makes a reference here. So remember, they were in Corinth. They moved to Ephesus. Some think there may have been an imprisonment in Ephesus that is not recorded, or a persecution incident in Paul's life that's not been recorded for us. Because when we get to Romans chapter 16, verse 5 says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila." This is Paul writing to the Romans. "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ, who for my life risked their own necks. To whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of Gentiles, and greet the churches that is in their house." So something happened that was a life threat. This is not an allegory or just a reference an imagery. This seems to be a literal life-threatening incident of some kind where Priscilla and Aquila reach out and rescue him and preserve his life, at the same time risking their own life. And so you see the indebtedness that Paul had to this couple. So we see him in Corinth, we see them in Ephesus, and then here we see them in Rome. So they're back in Rome. So they seem to be, and it may have some have to do with their tent making. The switch from Corinth to Ephesus was Paul's doing. The going from Ephesus to Rome may have been because of their business, may have been some other reason, but they end up back in Rome because in this chapter 16, Paul is greeting them in a letter that he mailed to Rome. So by this time, they're in Rome, and they have a church that's meeting in their house. And so this time, they're back in Rome. For some reason, they're there. The last reference we have is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is Paul's last letter. It's at the end of his ministry. And when he's writing to Timothy, he's greeting people at the end of the letter. And he says in verse 19, "Greet Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus." So Timothy at this point is in Ephesus. So they go from Corinth to Ephesus, then to Rome, and back to Ephesus near the end of their life. And so they're back there probably encouraging people there. Again, they have they're meeting and encouraging believers in that time. There's not much said about them, except that they're working together to minister to people. And there are two highlights in the ministry. One is the gift of hospitality. They brought Paul into their home. They allowed welcomed the church to meet in their home. They seem to have an open house and open ministry through their home. They were solid in the faith. They were able to disciple people, but it seems their ministry was bringing people into the home, and it was wonderful ministry there. Wherever they were, their home was available for people and for ministry. And the second is the willingness that they had to build people up in their faith, to take Apollos, and I would imagine other people as they met in their home, to build them up in their faith. So the two of them worked together and were able to support one another in that. They worked alongside Timothy and Ephesus at the end. Remember, Timothy had a problem with timidity, and my thinking is they're probably there to encourage him and to allow him to be successful in ministry. So hospitality and building and encouraging believers. Those are the hallmark of their ministry. And we can do that. Each of us can do that. We don't have to be a great preacher like Apollos. We don't have a great theologian like Paul. Just the ability to open our hearts and our homes and just encourage people as they did. And that's the heart. That's the heart of Priscilla and Aquila. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful couple who formed for us an example of just loving and caring for people, being willing to sacrifice themselves, sacrifice their time and efforts, and at least one point, willing to sacrifice their love to preserve the life of Paul. So we thank you for them. And we thank you that we can be people like that, that these are simple gifts that we can do as we open our homes, as we open our hearts, as we spend time with people, as we encourage people. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It takes time and concentration and the outpouring of our heart. And we thank you for this example. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.